Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. You are now in for the second hour of tonight's live broadcast. It is Saturday evening, March 6th, as we come to you from AM 1380 WLRM Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, and going out over the affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. We're on the internet at libertynewsradio.com and thepoliticalcesspool.org. You know, I had mentioned in the last hour that we have a new fundraising drive that is going on until the end of March. And these quarterly fundraising drives that we have, ladies and gentlemen, are very essential and play a vital part in us raising the money it costs to keep this operation afloat. And this month, the incentive is an autographed copy of Hutton Gibson's book, That's Mal's Dad, The Enemy Is Still Here, which covers the leftist infiltration of the church. You'll get that book autographed by Hutton Gibson for a donation of $100 at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But if you want to help the political cesspool in another way, why don't you help the radio network that allows the political cesspool to exist? The Liberty News Radio Network is a world-class network, and it reaches a growing number of people. If you want to advertise on our show and on the Liberty News Radio Network, you can advertise your business, product, organization, whatever. Email media at thepoliticalcesspool.org for more information. That is media, M-E-D-I-A, at thepoliticalcesspool.org for more information about advertising opportunities on TPC and Liberty News Radio Network. That being said, Winston Smith now in the co-host's chair. Winston, how are you?
I am very, very well, James. I'm glad to be back on the Political Cesspool. It's always my pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks, a week or two. We've got a great staff, and it's a staff that's been together for a long, long time now. Me and you and, of course, Eddie the Bombardier Miller and Bill Rowland. Keith Alexander became a permanent co-host in the middle of last year. So between the five of us, there was always at least two of us here in the studio to make sure this show goes off without a hitch, and we are always complimented by the great guests and salacious topics that we bring to the table. But nevertheless, Winston, great to have you back. As I mentioned, it had been a couple of weeks, so I'm sure you're loaded for bear.
Well, I don't know about that, but you know, we have these co-hosts, this stable of co-hosts, and we have to have so many of us because we have to spread the tolerance around. We can only put up with you for so much, and you know, I'll put up with you for this week or maybe next, and Eddie the Bombardier will come in. Give us all a rest. We get to recharge from having to deal with you.
Well, see, I was going to tell the audience it's like having a staple of thoroughbreds. You just got to let them run. You got to run them a little bit every now and then, but you let them know the truth. You let them know the truth. So, but anyway, and I certainly appreciate everyone who puts up with me, those in the listening audience included. But, Winston, we got so much on the blog this week, as we've been mentioning. The blog has just been receiving record number of readers, and we need that. We need the blog. It complements the radio program. You know, people learn in different ways. Some people prefer to read. Some people prefer to hear. Some people prefer to see. And as a matter of fact, that is why we're doing this current fundraising incentive, and Hutton Gibson was too kind to allow us to use his books as an incentive. You donate, you get the book. But we are going to be opening up to an extent, Political Cesspool Television. We're raising some money, and we've been greatly subsidized by a generous contributor in Arkansas, and he knows who he is. But we're going to be doing video bloggings as well, in addition to the current operation we got on the website there, and in addition to the radio show, which is the anchor of it all. We're going to complement the blog and the show with some video postings, and we're going to get that equipment hooked up in the studio, and we're excited about that. So a lot of stuff going on and a lot of issues out there to address, and Winston, I don't even know where to start with that being said.
Well, I need to start with apologizing to our first guest and our first guest in the next hour. We're going to have to put her on hold. I got my times mixed up, and our guest is on the phone now, but I guess our producer will take care of that and ask her to get back in touch with us in an hour. And to our guest, I apologize. I just got my times mixed up. Folks, I've been traveling between Virginia and Hawaii. I was in Hawaii last week, and now I'm in San Diego, and I'm just the man about the world here.
Now, you're a world traveler, just going around getting the pulse, meeting the fans. You know, you're everywhere.
And I, without going into a lot of detail, I know you're dying to mention this, James. We can't go into any detail. When I flew from Honolulu to San Diego, I sat in first class with none other than George Clooney.
You told me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I begged Winston to make mention that he sat next to the Oscar nominee, George Clooney. And he said, I can't say that. But don't make me say that. And now you're vomiting that up right here without even being provoked.
No. You wanted to go into detail. You wanted to talk about, well, shake his hand, you know, what about his hand? What did you say to him, you know? Did you tell him he's a jerk or what?
Well, you said, you know, he's probably a good Marxist like everyone else in Hollywood, but that he was very genteel and cordial.
Yes, he was.
And you did speak with him, and you held a conversation, and you chatted him up like you would chat anybody up. And you know, I will have to give him that. I mean, at least he was approachable.
Mm-hmm. He was.
All right. So I guess since we can't go into any more detail, although I don't know what more detail there would be to go in than that.
Well, you were just dying, so the cesspool stable of talent, we rub elbows with the high and the mighty, and as well as the more pedestrian, and I know which group I prefer.
Well, I like middle class myself. But as Winston said, we rub elbows with the high and mighty, and even every now and then we sit next to a movie star, which aren't necessarily one and the same. But I tell you,
Merlin Miller is going to make you into a movie star.
I hope so. You know, Merlin Miller, Americana Pictures. We got a big movie segment coming up with Greg Johnson. This whole first segment here is just completely going to pot. We actually did have some issues I wanted to bring to your attention, but every now and then, this show is unscripted. It is unrehearsed. I know you're not going to have a hard time believing that if you listen to us much, but every now and then we just like to talk, and now, right now we're just having a conversation and everyone's eavesdropping, I guess. But yeah, Winston, Merlin Miller, Americana Pictures. We're going to be talking with actually Greg Johnson. Maybe we should have had Merlin on this show too. I guess he would be appropriate. But Greg Johnson, editor of the Occidental Quarterly, also is an astute observer of film, and he's going to be on. We're going to be offering up our TUI awards. You've heard of the Oscars. Well, we are going to, in the Political Cesspool, present tonight the TUIs. The TUIs being named after Sean and Leanne TUI, the self-hating white liberals who were the subject of the movie The Blind Side. So we're going to be giving out the TUI Awards to the most anti-white actor, the most anti-white actress, anti-white movie. And if there are any good films out there, we'll try to make mention of them, although I don't think there's going to be too many to go over. But we'll see what we can get into. That's forthcoming with Greg Johnson. So it's going to be fun. I mean, you know, movies are fun to talk about. I like watching movies. I'm not disconnected from pop culture. In fact, I like quite a bit of it. I don't immerse myself in it. I don't do as so many people do and cease to have a life outside of Hollywood gossip. Of course, you know, we now make Hollywood gossip as we were covered by Perez Hilton Winston for having Hutton Gibson on. So, you know, we're everywhere. Maybe that's why you got first class next to Clooney, because, you know, we were talked about by Perez Hilton. You're in the club now with him.
I would, you know, rather than being covered by Perez Hilton, I would rather be covered with the most disgusting slime on earth. Because he's actually lower than the most disgusting slum on earth. How that guy continues to exist as he does is unfathomable to me. But I imagine it says more about our culture than it does anything else. Because he is absolutely talentless. He is a wretched individual, and yet his silly blog gets a million hits every day.
Well, but, you know. Yeah, he's an obnoxious sodomite in Hollywood. So I mean, he punches his own ticket out there. They love that stuff, you know.
Indeed.
But anyway, I guess at some point we might ought to talk about something of some relevance this second hour, and we're going to get to it. Although I don't think we have time to get to it now. So I guess we can talk a few more seconds about George Clooney or something, because what's Ted Pike going to be talking about tonight? He's coming on in the third hour.
He has several issues to talk about, and frankly, 30 minutes just ain't enough. So to produce there that we're going to go on for another hour and a half.
Okay. There you go. Hey, producer Denny, no Whatever show comes on after us, we're bumping, and we're going to go. We're going to extend it for a couple more hours tonight.
Reverend Pike is going to be talking about the anti-bullying bill that's slithering its way through Congress now, and of course, it's being sponsored by none other than the ADL, and it's of course it has an agenda behind its stated aims. Going to be discussing that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all that, I'm sure, with Reverend Ted, and we got movies coming up. We're going to take a break, folks, and regroup and, you know, find our bearings. And we're going to come back with something that you might want to hear about. We'll see. You never know. But the cesspool will continue one way or another, right?
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. We truly are going to zero in now for one segment on an issue, a matter of the most grave importance, the freedom of speech. Freedom of speech, you will never hear any of us here in the political cesspool advocate making it illegal for our enemies to speak out against us. I mean, we're going to battle them, as I always say, in the court of public opinion. We will fight with every fiber of our being to preserve our own freedom of speech, but never will you hear us attack those who dissent with us for having the rights to their freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is a good thing. It should be enjoyed by all, no matter if you agree or disagree with them, no matter how reprehensible you find their leanings. And that being said, and I didn't set that up because I have a problem with the gentleman I'm about to speak of, but I set that up just as a matter of fact. Ernst Zundel, an author, an artist, he really was a political pacifist, has been released from prison. He spent nearly a decade in what can only be described as the modern-day gulag, and we're certainly glad that he's out. I know Mr. Zundel's wife, Ingrid Rimland, a fine lady, if there ever was one. She lives in East Tennessee. And I've had the honor of breaking bread with her, having lunch with her. And I'm glad that her husband's out of jail. We certainly wish him well. But he should have never spent one day in prison to begin with, let alone 5 years. He was actually in jail for 5 years. His crime was writing and saying things that Jewish folks don't approve of. And while he may be out of prison, he's certainly not a free man. The Zionist overlords will be watching him until the day he dies. And the instant he says anything they don't approve of, he'll be back in court. And remember, Ernst Zundel was living in America when he was arrested in preparation for having him shipped back to Germany to go to prison for free speech, basically. I mean, that's what he was in jail for exercising the freedom of speech. And the same thing happened a few years ago to Germar Rudolph. He was arrested in America and sent to Germany to stand trial for writing things that they disagreed with. He was also sentenced to several years in prison. Now, certain former Republican president, George Bush, didn't do a damn thing. He doesn't do a damn thing about millions of Mexicans flooding into our country illegally, but he made damn sure that he tracked down Zundel and Rudolph. Bush knew who he worked for, and it certainly wasn't the American people, and he couldn't care less about the freedom of speech of people living here on American soil. Now, sometimes people ask me why I don't talk more on this show about Geert Wilders, who's on trial in Europe for saying things that Muslims don't like. And it's because Wilders and his International Free Press Society never said one word about people being thrown in jail for offending Jewish sensibilities. They want the right to offend Muslims, but they're quite happy to see people go to prison for offending Jews. If Wilders and the phony free speech crowd won't speak up for free speech everywhere and for everyone, they have no right to demand it for themselves. When they start writing about Jewish assaults on free speech around the globe, not just Muslim assaults, then I'll start showing them a little more concern about their freedom of speech. But the bottom line is, Winston, this. No one should go to jail, no matter what their idea, as long as they're peacefully advocating a certain ideology. Your thoughts?
You're absolutely correct. And that's that's the crux of Ernst Zundel's sad case there. And spent 7 years in prison, folks, and complicit in his jail sentence was, as James said, President George W. Bush, who allowed this man and assisted people in deporting him and sending him to jail for just questioning some data about the so-called Holocaust. Now, I did on the day that Mr. Zundel was released, I did a quick internet search, and I just put in Ernst Zundel because I knew it'd be all over the place. And page after page of hits that came up about Ernst Zundel, they all began with some form of the same heading, and that was convicted Holocaust denier Ernst Zundel. And I thought about that phrase, convicted Holocaust denier. Folks, the thing that troubles me is most Americans will look at that phrase, convicted Holocaust denier, and it won't mean a thing to them. They'll just kind of breeze over it. But I want to call your attention to that phrase. Does it not frighten you? What was this man convicted of? He was convicted of questioning some data. Said these numbers do not add up. Let's take another look at them. All he wanted to do was to get at the true number. He wanted to get at the right figure. But the Zionists, who pretty much run the government, didn't like that. Because as far as they're concerned, they are the only ones who are authorized to carry out any research and make any proclamations about that period in history. And anybody who does research outside of their purview is automatically branded a Holocaust denier. Not only that, they have labeled Zundel a convicted Holocaust denier. That is a legal term, friends, convicted. That means he was tried and he was sentenced and he did jail time. For what? Did he kill someone? Did he hurt someone? Did he steal something? Did he damage something? These are the types of things about which you normally get convicted of when you run afoul of the law. But all this man did was say, let's look at the numbers again. And now he is convicted Holocaust denier. Have you ever heard of such a crime?
And here's, Winston, what's so scary about that. It's absolutely reprehensible. You know, I don't care what your take on World War II is, if you believe that 6 million Jews were killed by the Nazis, if you believe 3 million. By the way, you can go to jail in Germany, literally, for claiming that 5,999,999 Jews died in the what they say is the Holocaust. But should you really go to jail, lose all freedom, go to jail for a number of years, 5 years, 7 years, for having a different opinion of a historical incident, you know. So, and if you can go to jail for that, where does the slippery slope end? I mean, that is a great measuring stick that they have been able to pass that as a crime punishable by jail time to question historical facts about what may or may not have happened in World War II, that you can go to jail for that. Where does it end? If you can go to jail for that, what else can you say that will land you in prison? I mean, this is truly, I think, the precedent has been set here with so-called Holocaust denial laws, making that a criminal charge, that they can now make a crime out of anything that anyone says. That was, I think, the entire purpose of it to begin with. Any political dissent, any dissent of certain issues that the powers that be don't want you to speak of, they have proven that they can throw you in jail for nothing more than talking. And even if you think Ernst Zundel is absolutely crazy, and even if you find his ideas abhorrent, I don't think any human can say that he ought to have been put in jail in that for that. And certainly I don't. So that I think is the biggest thing that is frightening about all this. And Winston, I'll give you the last word. We have about 30 seconds to break.
well, that is the most frightening thing about it, James. But the most maddening thing about it is that there is this small group of people, a very small percentage of the population, who have arrogated the right to discover truth. If you are not one of them, then you do not have the right to discover truth. And in fact, they have made the information so ridiculous. They have made the procedures so ridiculous that you can't get to the truth. And anytime you run across somebody who denies you access to the truth, those are people who need to be dealt with. And they need to be dealt with sternly.
Well, we're glad Ernst is out of jail and back with his wife. And here's to no one being put in jail for exercising the freedom of speech. We'll be back.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We are now joined by one of my favorite guests, certainly a man of great intelligence, very well-spoken, always brings a bundle of energy to the show. He is none other than Dr. Greg Johnson, the editor of the Occidental Quarterly out of Atlanta, Georgia, where he joins us from this evening. Greg, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, James. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure. And I do encourage everyone listening to check out the Occidental Quarterly at toqonline.com. That's www.toqonline.com. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the interview. But, Greg, you know, some of the guys who work with me behind the scenes on this program said I needed to do a big Oscar night show this evening, and we kind of promoted tonight's program as such. But the only problem with that is, I, as much as I love movies, and I am a big movie buff, it just so happens that I haven't seen too many of the movies that are in the running for nominations this year, so I don't know much about...
I'm in the same boat. I'm a big movie buff, but I don't think I've seen... most of the movies that are in the running. I know that they nominated Inglourious Bastards, and I know that they nominated District 9, but I don't even know the names of the other major nominees. So what are some of the other ones that are out there?
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting segment. This is our film critic for the evening, Greg Johnson. You can see how prepared we are for this, but we're going to see. Winston, do you know anything that's going on in Hollywood? I mean, I know you sat next to George Clooney on the plane. Did any of it rub off?
No. The truth is, I enjoy going to movies. I doubt that...
we all love movies, but none of us see any.
Well, I would see them if they were worth seeing. And the ones that have been offered this year really did not grab my attention. I think the ones that did grab my attention were the shockers like Inglourious Bastards and... things like that, and had the worst sort of agenda. But by and large, I think there were a lot of remakes, and the numbers of remakes that we see coming out of Hollywood really brand this current crop of directors and producers as the most unimaginative lot in the history of film. However, I will say I am looking forward to the remake of Clash of the Titans.
Well, that comes out, I think, here in a couple of days. But nevertheless, the plan for tonight, Greg, a couple of weeks ago, was we would have an elaborate production here in which we would present certain winners with the TUWI Award. Instead of the Oscar here in the cesspool, we would give out the TUWI Award, which is named after Sean and Leanne TUWI, who, as I mentioned earlier in the program, are the self-hating white liberals that are depicted in the Blind Side movie, which we've talked quite a bit about, particularly because it has such a close correlation with the cultural genocide that's taking place down at Ole Miss again this week. But what we were going to do was we were going to give out a TUWI award to the most anti-white movie, most anti-white actor, most anti-white actress. What do you think, Greg? I mean, you've seen a couple of movies.
There's no shortage of nominees for that. I actually think it's a good sign, though, that we're standing around or sitting around and we're drawing a blank about what's worth watching coming out of Hollywood. I hope that we're not alone in that, and I hope that that is reflected in the bottom line of all these studios. The The movie that I do like the best that has been nominated is District 9. I did think that was a remarkably honest movie, and I'm surprised that it even got released. I think it got released and promoted because it's unthinking people think that it is just putting forward a tolerance agenda, and they don't realize that actually it's a I think, as Steve Saylor pointed out, it's a great movie about the demographic problems, the problems with diversity and things like that. So I thought it was a terribly subversive movie, and I really hope it wins. I would like more people to see it because of that. So anyway.
All right, so District 9, we like District 9. I did see one movie, and it was a result. The reason I saw it was resulted from Merlin Miller's critique of it on the Occidental Quarterly website. Coincidentally enough, it was Edge of Darkness with Mel Gibson. And, of course, Mel Gibson is not going to be nominated for another Oscar for the rest of his life. But we had his father on, and Merlin gave it a good review. So I went to see it. We actually went, the whole Cesspool staff went to see it. That was a good movie. If people haven't seen The Edge of Darkness yet, it was a good movie. Mel Gibson's obviously a guy who's right of center, so we would encourage people to go see that. Winston, have you seen any good movies this year that are recent releases, District 9, Edge of Darkness, anything?
No, I was hoping that The Road, based on the novel by Cormac McCarthy, would be better than it was, but unfortunately it wasn't. The book is far, far better than the movie, and I encourage people to lay hold of The Road by Cormac McCarthy and read it. Stay away from the movie. But as I said, none of the cinematic offerings of last year really got my attention for any good reason.
We're going to have to find an intern here at the studio to go watch some movies for us next year and write up some reports because, you know, as much as we have talked about The Blind Side, Greg, I just couldn't, and I almost wanted to go see it just so I'd be better prepared to talk about it on the show. I just couldn't part with $9 to go see a movie that I know would make me ill. Has anyone seen The Blind Side? As much as we've covered it on this show, and we know exactly what it's about, so there's no need to see it, but has anybody actually seen it?
No. And as far as parting with $9 or $10, I've gotten to the point where I wait for BitTorrents of movies and just watch them for free. I will go out and pay for a movie if I feel like I really need to review it, obviously, and I need to do that in a timely fashion. But I generally just don't part with money to see most of the stuff out of Hollywood anymore. There are a couple of television shows that I am following, which is a shocking admission for me, because I don't even have cable, or I do own a TV. I call it my monitor, but I don't have it hooked up to the great brainwashing network out there. And but there are two television programs I am following that I think are really quite positive, and I would actually recommend them to people if they're going to watch television. One is a series on USA Network called Burn Notice, and the other one is Caprica, which is on the Sci-Fi Network, which is the prequel series for the reimagined Battlestar Galactica series, and it's produced by the same people. Burn Notice is a very good show. The first two seasons of it were, they were sort of entertaining, stories based on a very clear delineated formula, but they weren't fantastic. I watched it because I liked the formula, I liked the cast and so forth. But the third season, which is coming to an end, has just moved into a much higher level of storytelling. These are really remarkable, gripping, dramatic scripts that they're doing. And let me just outline the reasons why I like it. First of all, the main cast is all white, okay? And they're good-looking white people. Bruce Campbell's in it, Jeffrey Donovan, and this woman, Gabrielle Anwar, who's apparently half Arab, but you'd never know it. The story is basically about a guy who's a spy who's been burned and dropped by his agency. He's a kind of patriotic guy, and he is trying to find his way back into his old job, find out who burned him, And at the same time, he has adventures in Miami where he lives and helps people out every week. And so they have these big, the overarching story is about the guy trying to get back inside and find out who's burning him. And then there are episodic stories that go on. And there are a number of things about it that I like. One, the guy Jeffrey Donovan, the actor Jeffrey Donovan's character, Michael Weston, he's a very masculine character, yet at the same time he's smart and he's sophisticated and he's honorable. He's not a spy like James Bond who's sort of chasing swimsuit models around. He's actually very much focused on his ideals, and that makes him very attractive to sort of higher kinds of women who are not so much attracted to men who are just womanizers. But the other thing about him that's really remarkable is he's incredibly ingenious. He's the kind of guy who can walk into a hardware store and buy a few pieces of equipment and create explosives or listening devices and things like that. And I look at this and I think, you know, if there were 100 people like Michael Weston in this country, the system would be in grave danger of people could shut it down, which is a sort of subversive thought. But, you know, he's the kind of character that white men today would admire, and you wouldn't actually be too worried about it. And that's a good thing to say about something on TV, that it's not subversive. It's actually a positive thing.
Well, hold on,
so I do
Greg,
recommend that show.
We're going to continue on with that, our review of media, I guess, since we haven't seen any movies, right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. James Edwards, Winston Smith, and Dr. Greg Johnson, editor of the Occidental Quarterly, TOQOnline.com. is our guest right now. We were going to talk about movies, but since none of us have seen any recent movies, we couldn't really give out our TUI awards. You know, The Blind Side's bad. You know, Inglourious Basterds. Well, we've covered that too. But, you know, we love movies, and I rent a lot of movies. I just haven't seen a lot of the newer movies. I have so much wasted knowledge in my head about actors, their names, what films they've been in, what characters they played. If all that knowledge was devoted to classic literature, I'd probably be pretty smart. But, Greg, you did mention Gabrielle Ann Warren. I've just got to say, back in the mid-90s, she was one of the most absolutely beautiful women in the world as far as I'm concerned. And it's good to know that she's getting work again on cable TV, which is, since we couldn't talk about movies, we are talking about cable shows. Greg was giving a great commentary on Burn Notice, and he mentioned one of the things he likes about it is because it's an all-white cast. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just ask Tyler Perry. You know, routinely Hollywood will produce movies with nothing but an all-black cast, and not all the black people in America go see it, and it's a great thing. And something that they view as quite healthy. So with that being said, we should also see it as quite healthy to want to watch our people in action. And, Greg, with that being said, Burn Notice, any final words on that? I know there's a couple of other series that you've taken a liking to.
Well, it's I understand now it's the number one series on cable, and I think it's probably being watched by white people who are brighter than average, because it appeals to white people and it appeals to bright people. I don't think dumb people can really follow the plots very well. So anyway, that said, you know, all of life is an IQ test. And, you know, no matter how much they dumb things down, you still can't take away that fact. The other series that I'm watching now is Caprica, which is the prequel to the Battlestar Galactica reimagination that ran for a few years. I think that is one of the best shows I've ever seen on television. It's certainly the best science fiction show. It's enormously imaginative. And the thing that that gets me about it is that it strikes me as it can be read as a huge allegory about the relationship between Jews and Gentiles, because the main plot element of it is basically this. The main conflict is between two races. One is the human race, who are polytheists, and they worship the old European gods. And the other is an artificial race called the Cylons, who are monotheists and are fanatical monotheists. And at the beginning of the series, they launch a genocidal war to destroy humanity because they just, I guess their god doesn't want us to be around, and they want our land, shades of the Old Testament. And then at a certain point, though, they have a change of heart. And instead of wanting to exterminate all the polytheists, they decide that what they really want to do is make us better. They want to perfect us. And so in order to perfect us, of course, they have to do that at gunpoint in a vast sort of Gaza-like concentration camp that they set up. And, instead of the genocidal Jews, this is the Jewish reformists, the whole notion of tikkun olam, the changing of the world. But it's not genocide outright, but it's highly oppressive, and humanity finally escapes from this. And I found that very very interesting as a kind of theme that runs through it. It also turns out that the Cylons are masters of crypsis. They pose as humans, and great weaknesses of humanity. Well, two of the great weaknesses are A, because the Cylons are so practiced at crypsis, and they're so clever, they are characterized by upward mobility. So eventually you find out that practically everybody who's running the human race is actually a secret Cylon. And two, one of the things that constantly weakens the human's position vis-a-vis the Cylons is that we interbreed and intermarry with them and have all these personal entanglements. So anyway, I found that kind of amazing that anything like this would be on television. The series is also full of amazing political realism, sort of biologically based political realism. The human race is almost extinct, so they say, well, we've got to breed more people or we'll go extinct, which is a pronatal message you don't see on television much. The other thing that's very interesting is at a certain point the president decides, well, we can't afford to have abortions anymore. Our population is shrinking, and so they ban abortion. They contemplate when they have a chance exterminating the Cylons with biological weapons and things like that. So there's a deep level of biological political realism that comes across in this show, and it's deeply politically incorrect in a lot of ways. It's full of a multiracial cast and race mixing and all that's there out on the surface, but on deeper levels, it's very un-PC and very subversive. Right down to the fact that they all smoke and drink all the time, which I think is kind of funny, and certainly not PC anymore. But anyway, so I highly recommend that series, and the Caprica series is sort of a prequel to that, and it's off to a very good start. It's extremely imaginative again and gripping, and it deals with really serious moral and philosophical and political and survival issues. So I recommend that, definitely.
I tell you, Greg, the Political Cesspool is the only radio program where you will hear the word subversive used in a favorable light. We like it here. Yeah. And you don't need to be a guest on this show, Greg. You need your own radio program. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to that soliloquy there and hope that everyone will tune in to these aforementioned television series. Good stuff out there still in 2010. Still shows worth watching for people who share common sense political opinions.
Yeah.
Now, I know we got a couple of minutes left, Greg. I know you have a quick comment about hate crimes. We've been covering hate crimes. I know I had emailed to you a litany of blog postings we've put up on the website with regards to what apparently is a hate crime and what is not. And I want to give you an opportunity to opine about that before plugging TOQ.
Okay. Well, my main point about hate crimes is simply this. Creating hate crimes penalties is just another tool of white dispossession, just like multiculturalism, These rules are not applied equally to whites, and they never will be. And whites who think that, well, they just need to petition for the government to treat anti-white hate crimes as hate crimes, I hope they're going to become educated as to the real purpose of hate crimes, which is to make it more difficult for whites to express ideas. It's really criminalizing white ethnocentrism. That's the goal of it. Now, if they were serious about hate crimes legislation, then they should do the following. They should make fake hate crimes into hate crimes too.
Amen.
Because every fake hate crime is a hate crime directed at the people who are being framed for that hate crime, and all these fake hate crimes are being directed at white people. Okay, they're directed at us, and so every fake hate crime is a hate crime against white people. And I would love to see one legislator with the balls, pardon my language, to stand up and say, let's make fake hate crimes a hate crime in and of themselves. I think that would be that would be a very interesting.
It stands to reason, Greg, because they're being pursued as a hate crime until they find out that the perpetrator or the culprit is a non-white. So what's the difference? I mean, granted, hate crime shouldn't exist at all, but if they must, then surely there should be some sort of a reasonable allocation of the crime here. So, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. That is a fine statement. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've enjoyed listening to Greg Johnson on the Political Cesspool tonight, you will love reading Greg Johnson and his associates over at the Occidental Quarterly. How can they do just that, Greg? And how can they subscribe to what I believe is the finest journal that we have on this side of the political fence?
Well, go to www.toqonline.com. You'll find our website, which contains both a web magazine that's updated frequently and deals with things having to do with popular culture and politics and so forth. And there's information about the print journal, which comes out quarterly and which deals at greater length with the same kind of topics. And we publish a lot of very high-powered writers like Kevin MacDonald and F. Roger Devlin, two of the ones that come immediately to mind who have been on your show. And it really is a very serious publication. It deals with serious ideas in a very rigorous way, and yet it's accessible to intelligent people, and that's your audience, and that's ours too. So thanks for having me on the show, James. It's always a pleasure, and I look forward to doing it again.
It can't come soon enough, Greg. You should never come on unless we have a full hour. I tell you, I have been absolutely enthralled. Great interview, great commentary. Thanks for being with us tonight. And check out more of Greg Johnson at toqonline.com, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Johnson, everyone. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
We'll be back with a third hour right after this, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
Or not. There's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the ride.